God bless you, preacher. Amen. Well, thank God for the privilege to be back tonight on this cooler evening. Praise the Lord. I don't think nobody's opposed to that, are they? Praise God. Thank God for the good rain that He's given us. And I appreciate the blessings of the Lord. Thank God for the meeting thus far. And I pray that you've received some help this week. And I found out the Word of God will help us if we'll receive it. And he'll help. I found this to be true. Praise God. There's been times I've been preaching, and it helped me while I was preaching. Amen. I know you ain't supposed to get blessed by your own preaching, but praise God, the Word of God will help you. And I appreciate the Lord. And it's good. And I appreciate getting to meet some of you folks for the first time, and then some familiar faces in the crowd that I've been around in different meetings. And I appreciate folks who love the Lord. That's my crowd, the old-fashioned crowd. That's the kind I like to hang around. And this modernistic crowd, you can have them if you want to. I'll just stick with that old-fashioned crowd, that King James Bible crowd. That's what I was raised on, and that's what I'm going to die by the grace of God preaching out of. Amen. And I appreciate the Lord. Appreciate His good in them old hymns and the old songs of the faith. Thank God it'll still get the job done today. And I'm glad for that. And a lot of folks say, well, ain't you looking for a new way? No, I ain't looking for a new way. Just trying to find the old path and walk therein. And we'll find rest for our souls. And I appreciate the meeting thus far. If you have your Bible, turn with me to the book of Job, chapter 36. Job, chapter 36. And I'll give you just a simple thought tonight. Hope I can be a blessing to you from the Word of God. Job, chapter 36. Tonight, and I'm going to start reading in verse number 26, Job chapter number 36, and I want to start reading in verse number 26. If you're able to stand tonight, let's stand in honor of the reading of the Word of God. Job chapter number 36 and verse number 26. You know the story of the man by the name of Job. I love studying the life of Job, and of course, the Bible tells us a lot about Job's life. And most of Job's life is about the trials that he endured as a child of God. And here in the scripture that I'm reading, Job, of course, you know, has lost just about everything. And he had three friends that came to see him when he was in a bad way. And I've had a few friends like that down through my life. They showed up and they sat and looked at him for a week and didn't say anything. Then when they did start talking, they started trying to figure out what he had done wrong, and surely God was mad at him. You always have the religious police show up when something bad happens to you, wondering what in the world you've done wrong. Well, I challenge you to find anything that Job did wrong in this book. He didn't. The Bible said he was a perfect and an upright man. Matter of fact, if you're starting a church, you'd like to have Job and his wife as members. Amen. Example, church folk. But here's the scene. The friends have come, and one of the friends says this in verse number 26. Behold, God is great, and we know him not. Neither can the number of his years be searched out. For he maketh small the drops of water. They pour down rain according to the vapor thereof, which the clouds do drop and distill upon man abundantly. Also, can any understand the spreadings of the clouds, or the noise of his tabernacle? Behold, he spreadeth his light upon it, and covereth the bottom of the sea. For by them judgeth he the people. He giveth meat in abundance. With clouds he covereth the light, and commandeth it not to shine by the cloud that cometh betwixt. The noise thereof showeth concerning it, and the cattle also concerning the vapor. Father, we thank you tonight for the reading of your word. And Lord, tonight we pray that you would touch the service in a special way. Father, give us liberty tonight, I pray. And Lord, may the word of God go to the heart that needs it the most tonight. Father, for that one that may be in the midst of a trial, or Lord, they may be in the midst of a trouble. Father, there may be somebody headed into a trouble tonight, but God, you want to speak peace to their heart tonight. Father, I thank you for the Word of God and how it gives us comfort, how it gives us instruction and direction. And Father, we thank you for that tonight. Thank you, Lord, for the good rain that we've experienced even here this evening, Lord, as your word has proven itself out even in our presence, that you do make small the drops of water. And Father, they drop upon man abundantly, and we're thankful for that. God, I pray now that you'd take charge in this meeting, and may you get honor and glory out of everything that's done. And Lord, we'll give you praise, honor, and glory, for it's in the name of Jesus we pray and we ask it. Amen and amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Here in the scene that, of course, I've spoke about, Job has come to the place. The Bible says in chapter number 1 of the book of Job, of course, we know that Job was a man who loved God. He was a man that was faithful to the things of God. Matter of fact, Job was a man that got up every day and made sacrifice for his family and for his children in case they might have sinned against God in their hearts, the Bible said. And so Job was a man who loved God with all of his heart. But we also know that just because you love God doesn't mean you'll never face a trial. It doesn't mean that you'll ever never face a heartache or some discouragement that comes your way. But it does mean this, that in the midst of all of it, there's a God that said he'd be with you all the way, even unto the end of the world. And I'm thankful for that. But here's the scene. Job has come now and he's lost everything, and he's in a bad way. He's lost his health. He's lost his family. He's lost his finances. Everything's gone, seems like. If anybody could have thrown a pity party, Job could. But here, one of his friends comes and says this. He makes this statement. He said, "Behold, God is great, and we know him not. Neither can the number of his years be searched out." And he comes down and he makes a statement. He said in verse number 29, "Also, can any understand the spreadings of the clouds?" He said, Job said, we can't understand God's ways. And Job, we can't even understand the spreadings of the clouds. When the clouds come in, sometimes the dark clouds come. We don't understand why they're there many times when trials come. He comes down, he said in verse 32, "With clouds he covereth the light." There's times that it seems as though the storm clouds come in our life and we cannot see the light of day. But let me tell you something, I'm glad tonight that even though I may not be able to see the light of day, I'm glad the sun is still shining, and I'm glad he's still on my side. I begin to think about this. I was reading this scripture, and a few years ago now, I was in a revival meeting in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. That's about a 2.5 hour drive from my house, and I was in a 5-night meeting there, and I was driving back and forth every night in the service, 2.5 hours each way, and I'd drive down, preach, and then I would come back, and I did that all week long, and the road's a good highway, it's a 4-lane highway, 421, and very easy drive after you leave the mountains, and so I had no problem. I'm familiar with the road, I've traveled it so many times that I know all the landmarks, I know everything, I've been through it so many times that it wasn't a problem for me. And we'd had a good week. We'd had a good meeting. And it was on Friday night. My wife was with me. And we'd finished out the meeting late that night. And we knew we was going to be late getting back home that night. As we headed home that night, we heard on the radio that there'd been some rain had moved into the mountains. Now, down here in the lowland, it's a little different than it is up in the mountains. We understand that if you get up in the mountains, you understand that sometimes what the conditions are in the lowland is not necessarily what you're going to experience when you get in the mountains. And that night as we were heading back home, we were, of course, coming from the lowland. And as we started our ascension up the mountain, suddenly we came into a fog bank that was so thick I couldn't see anything. Matter of fact, that road is notorious for fog, and that and Highway 321. Matter of fact, it gets so bad sometimes that people can't navigate the road. I mean, it's just really a terrible thing. And we got in a fog bank that night that was so thick that I couldn't see anything. I couldn't tell where I was at on the journey. And I'll tell you what, it's just something about being in a fog that just unnerves you. There's something about being in a place where things are not clear and you can't see the journey ahead that causes us great discomfort. I begin to think about that. Here Job was one day. Everything's good in his life. He's the richest of the men of the East, the Bible said. I mean, he's got a good family. He's got cattle. He's got camels. He's got everything you can think of. And then suddenly in one day's time, I'm talking about the bad news just kept coming in Job's life. And suddenly Job found himself in a place where things weren't clear. Can I say to you tonight, sometimes those foggy times of life come suddenly upon us. Hey, sometimes we don't expect the troubles when they come. They come from out of nowhere. But let me tell you something. I begin to think about this. I'm preaching on this subject tonight on some things to remember when you find yourself in a fog. Let me tell you, every one of us, at some point in our life, we're going to find ourselves in a place where things are not clear. We're going to find ourselves in a place on the journey where it seems like we don't know what to do or which way to go. But I'm glad in the midst of the foggy times of life, the same God that was God when the sun was shining will be God in the foggy times of life, and he'll help you in the struggles of your life. Amen. I don't know about you, I don't like driving in a fog. It gives me a feeling of being separated from other people. I was driving at night, and you know, on the highway, it was so foggy. I knew there were other cars out there, but I couldn't see them. And there's something about being in a fog that makes you feel like you're all alone and by yourself. I got news for you. There's going to be times that the old enemy is going to do his best to bring a fog into your life to cause you to feel like you're all alone and you're the only one going through what you're going through. I've got news for you. Praise God. There's other folks out there tonight. They're in the same fog you're in. They're in the same journey you're in. And sometimes the old enemy wants to make you think that you're all by yourself, but I'm glad whenever I get in the troubled times of life, I've got a God that doesn't abandon me, amen. I'm glad there's a God that said he'd be with me every step of the journey, amen. It gives you an idea of separation. Now, something about a fog makes me suspicious too. That night as I was driving, I'd driven this road all week long, hadn't had a problem at all, but suddenly when I got in a fog, I got worried that there might be something in the road. You ever do that? I mean, just driving along, you know there ain't nothing out there. But because you can't see the road and because you can't see the highway, you kind of get suspicious that there may be something in the way. I got news for you. The devil wants to make you think there's something out in front of you that's going to take you down. And most of the time, what you're worried the most about will never materialize in your life. The devil's awful good at putting some monsters out there. The devil's awful good at putting some things in your path and in your mind to let you know he's going to take you down. But all the while, there wasn't nothing in the road. It was in my mind, amen. And I was worried about something that never was going to happen, amen. I got news for you. Sometimes we get worried about stuff. Sometimes as a pastor, you look out there and you see stuff that ain't there. Now, I'm not talking about them missing members, amen. Sometimes you can see things and you say, man, I'll tell you one thing right now. Surely the devil's going to do this and surely the devil's going to do that. I've learned it's always best not to try to put two and two together because most time you're going to end up with five, amen. I'll tell you one thing right now. Just trust God in the middle of the journey. When it gets foggy and you don't know which way to go and what to do, just trust the one that knows the way, amen. I'm glad he knows the road. He's took every step ahead of you, amen. And I'm glad he'll carry me all the way home, amen. You say, preacher, what should I remember when I find myself in a fog? I'm going to give you four things tonight, and I'll be done. Number one, when you find yourself in a fog, remember this. Stay the course. That night as I was driving, you see, I'd been on this road, and I knew it was the right road. I knew it would take me to my destination.
But suddenly I came into a fog bank and I couldn't see the landmarks. I couldn't even really see the road real good. But you know what I didn't do that night? I didn't look at my wife and say, honey, this road's got fog on it. Would you hunt the road map and see if we could find another road that don't have any fog on it? No, I didn't do that. You know why? Because I knew I was on the road that would take me home. I knew I was on the right road. Amen. Let me tell you, I see church folk, they get in trouble and it seems like dark times come and they start looking for another road. They start looking for another avenue. They start looking for someplace else to go when all the while what you need to do is stick with God. Stay the course. Amen. When you find yourself in a fog, just stick with Jesus. Amen. Tell you something right now, you'll be glad when you've hit the hard times of life that you've got Jesus by your side. A few years ago, I had a friend. He was a young preacher. He was in his early 40s. He lived in North Carolina. Matter of fact, his daddy was a deacon in our church. This boy had surrendered, called to preach, and had a wife, and him and his wife had a son. His son is married, and they had a little grandson, about 4 years old, I guess, 4 or 5 years old maybe. And this old boy loved God, and he loved me, and he loved our preaching, he loved our singing, and he liked to play guitar and sing, and he'd always sing some of the songs I'd written. And matter of fact, I'd seen him a month prior to this happening, and we'd sat around for half of the day, just talked about the good things of God, enjoying the fellowship. And it was on Christmas Eve. It was on Christmas Eve. I was at the house, and my phone rang, and it was this this preacher's sister on the phone. When I thought that was odd, she was calling me on Christmas Eve, and she called me, and she said, "Preacher," she said, "I hate to bother you," said, "but we just got a phone call and said something bad has happened," and his name was Robbie, and said, "Something bad's happened to Robbie." Said, "We don't know what it is." Said, "They just called us and said that he was talking to some fellas today and said he got a real bad headache and he collapsed, and they think he may have had a brain aneurysm, and they've flown him to Duke University Hospital." And she said, "Preacher, I've got mom and dad," and said, "we're in the getting ready to head in the car. It's about a 3.5 hour drive to where they live. So we're headed down there, preacher. We're going to try to get down to where the hospital, see if we can find out what's going on." And of course, my heart was broken when I heard that news. And I said, "You call me and let me know as soon as you find out and everything settles till you can get to a phone to tell me what's going on." And I waited, and that night I didn't hear any update. I waited, and it was the next morning. It was on Christmas morning. About 11 o'clock in the morning, the phone rang, and it was from down at the hospital. And when I picked it up, it was this lady on the phone again, and she said, "Preacher," said, "I wanted to call you and tell you," said, "they made the decision a few minutes ago to unhook Robbie from life support," and said, "Preacher, he just went home to be with the Lord." And I'm talking about 40 years old, maybe 42, 43 years old. And I'm telling you what, my heart was broke. I don't understand those things. If you can understand that, you'd explain that to me, I'll be happy to listen to you tonight. But I'll tell you one thing right now. If I was God, I'd do it a whole lot different. I'd kill some of that crowds of cussing him out there. That's what I'd do if I was God. But here's a boy that loved God, and he was wanting to do something for God. And I don't understand why these things happen. And, of course, his family, they said, "Preacher, would you help in his funeral?" And I said, "I'd be honored to do anything." So I drove down there, was part of the funeral service, and they were bringing his body back to bury him there. And matter of fact, in our family cemetery is where he's buried. And they said his pastor can't make that trip. He's an older man. He said, "We want you to do the graveside service when they get him back to Mountain City." I said, "I'll be honored to help his family in any way. I love the family." And it was on Sunday afternoon. It was, of course, right after Christmas. It was cold in the mountains and dark, overcast, cloudy day on the little hillside there in the cemetery. And we got to the cemetery that day, and the cemetery's filled with people. And just a throng of people there, and of course, something so unexpected. And as we was there, I was praying about what God would have me to do. I said, "Lord, I want to read the right scripture, and I want to do this." And as I was getting ready, the Lord began to touch my heart, and I knew there was a song that I'd written years ago that this boy loved, and he used to sing it some, and the Lord touched my heart and said, "You ought to try to sing a little bit of that a cappella." And I told my wife and my daughter, I said, "If we can, I want to sing a little bit of a song." I wrote a song called "Somewhere the Birds Are Singing," And I wrote that song out of an experience with a dear friend, a dear sister that was going through a battle with cancer. And she was going through such a low time in her life. And I wrote that song, and it's blessed a lot of people. But the Lord touched my heart to sing it that day. And we were standing there by the graveside, and I read some scripture. And I said, the Lord's spoke to my heart today, folks. And I said, we're going to try to sing a little bit of this song that Robbie loved. And as we began to sing the song that we just sang the chorus a little bit, and I just began to sing, somewhere the birds are singing, somewhere the bells are ringing, somewhere the saints of God are free forevermore, somewhere they've said their last goodbye, somewhere no tear can dim their eye. I'm longing for that place, that land somewhere. And as we sang that song that day, of course, people just sobbing in the graveyard that day. And I had prayer, and as usually is my custom, I began to walk through the tent that day, shaking hands with his dear precious wife. And there sat his son. I shook hands with him, and he was sitting there with his wife and had that little blonde-haired grandson sitting on her lap. And that little boy was sitting there looking at the casket. He didn't understand really what was going on, just sitting there looking at the casket. And I walked through the other side of the tent, and something happened in that cemetery that day. I've never had an experience like this in all of my years in the ministry, in a funeral or a cemetery scene. And I've never had anything like this happen. But as I stepped on the other side, of course, the funeral home men are getting ready to try to dismiss the graveside service. All of a sudden, in the darkness and the dark clouds rolling in, all of a sudden, I heard a little voice begin to sing. And it was piercing the darkness. All of a sudden, I looked, and it was that little grandson. And he was sitting on his mama's lap looking at the casket. And he had heard that song so much that he had it memorized. And that little boy began to sing. He couldn't even talk real plain. He said, somewhere the birds are singing. Somewhere the bells are ringing. Somewhere the saints of God are free forevermore. Somewhere they said their last goodbye. Somewhere no tear can dim their eye. I'm longing for that place, that land somewhere. And as that little boy sang, he sang it over and over. I bet he sat there and sang for 5 minutes. Nobody moved a muscle. I'm talking about grown men overcome with emotion in the graveyard. The funeral home directors were standing there weeping like babies as this little boy looking at his papa's casket is singing, somewhere the birds are singing. Somewhere the bells are ringing. Somewhere the saints of God are free forevermore. I'm glad to tell you, praise God, when you've come to the darkest valley you've ever been in as a child of God, and it seems like all hope's gone, isn't it good to know, praise God, you can stay the course with God and know that there's a land somewhere where all problems are over then, praise God. All disappointments are gone then. Hallelujah, thank God. I don't know about you. I believe when you find yourself in a fog, just stay the course with God. Find yourself in a fog, stay the course. Number two, when you find yourself in a fog, slow down to the pace you're comfortable with. That night I was driving, I'd been driving that highway every night, and the speed limit's 65. And when you're a preacher and you're driving 2.5 hours that way, preaching wore out and you're driving back home 2.5 hours, sometimes you'll push a little over that 65 limit. Say, I can't believe you say you had just admitted you break the speed limit every now and then. Well, at least I'll admit it. Some of you holier than now, Joes, praise God, won't admit it. Amen. But I was pushing, 65, 70. And now I don't go much more than that because I got tired of getting them driving awards beside the highway. I mean, that there. I'm telling you one thing right now. You just don't like them driving awards they give you when they pull you over beside the highway. And you can only pull that preacher card so many times and it worked, praise God. And don't you preachers laugh at me like you ain't tried that too, praise God. Some officer walked up and said, where are you going? Man, praise God, I've been in a meeting. I'm a preacher. I've been trying to get people, keep them from going to hell, officer. That's all right, buddy. I'm still giving you a ticket, praise God. But that night I was driving, and instead of driving 65, when I hit the fog, I slowed down to about 35 because I didn't feel comfortable driving 65 anymore. Let me tell you something. You know, I couldn't figure out why some people could go through troubles faster than other people could. I used to couldn't understand. I mean, some people seemed like they could go through troubles that didn't bother them. And then I seen some folks get a hangnail, and they want to fall down and die and want the whole church to fall down and die with them. See, we're all wired different. We're all made different. And some people can go through troubles seems like easier than other folks can. But you know what really annoys me is when I get in a fog and I'm slowed down because I ain't comfortable going fast. And all of a sudden somebody gets on my bumper and starts trying to push me through the fog. I mean, riding your bumper. That happened to Job. His wife got up on his bumper and said, won't you curse God and die? He said, get off my bumper, woman. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I was driving that night real slow, about 35 miles an hour. It's a four-lane highway. And all of a sudden, I looked and I saw a set of headlights coming up in the side mirror from behind me. And this guy wasn't driving 35 miles an hour. He's still doing 65 or 70. And man, he came by me. I mean, he was gone. I mean, just into the fog. And as he passed by me, I looked at my wife. I said, did you see that idiot? Now, don't look at me spiritual like you ain't never seen an idiot on the highway either. Y'all passed several on the way here tonight, amen? I wonder how some of them people got driver's license. I said, that guy is going to get somebody killed in this fog driving like that. And then my wife had to interject logic into the conversation. She said, well, honey, he may have had some fog lights. I said, thank you, Captain Obvious. You know what she was saying, don't you? He was better equipped to navigate the fog that I was. What are you trying to say, preacher? If you find yourself in a fog, slow down to the pace you're comfortable with and wait on God. I got news for you, praise God. We're all going to find ourselves there. You say, preacher, what else should I remember when I find myself in a fog? Just stay the course. Slow down to the pace you're comfortable with. And I begin to think about you say, preacher, there's some people that seems like they just try to rush through something. But I got news for you. There's a God that wants to help you if you'll wait on Him. Amen. You say, preacher, what else should I remember? And when I find myself in a fog, just remember this. Remember to stay the course. Remember to slow down to the pace you're comfortable with. And number three, remember this. Use what God supplied you with to navigate the journey. That night, I was thankful, of course, that my car had headlights on it. You don't really think about them lights a lot till you really need them the most. But the fact that them automobile dealers, they designed those cars with high beams and low beams. Those high beams will show you way down the road. But those low beams are for times when you find yourself out there in the dark, in a fog. You don't need to see 5 miles down the road. You just need to see 5 feet in front of you. Can I say to you, most of us try to live our Christian experience on the high beams. We're worried about what's going to happen next year and the year after that. And we're planning 5 years down the road and 5 and 10 years here. When all the while, I believe when you're reading that book, Jesus said, you know what? Told them to pray like this. Give us this day our daily bread. He said, just give us this pray. Lord, give us this day what we need. I've got news for you. I'm glad God's given us everything we need to navigate the journey. He's given us the light of Jesus Christ in our life. And if you find yourself in a foggy time, just set your sights on Him and He'll carry you through. Amen. I love watching the lives of these older saints of God that have stayed the course. They've been through a lot of fogs in their life. They've seen the sunshine. They've been on the mountaintop. But they've walked through some valleys. And I'll tell you, there's one constant in every one of their lives. They've used everything God gave them to navigate the journey of life. Oh, they love that blessed old book. I remember there's a little lady, very instrumental in my life as a young preacher. And she wasn't a very loud lady. She didn't hold a position in the church. Her name was Annie Short. And Annie was a little short lady. Her name was fitting, Annie Short. She was a little short lady. But this little woman had God all over her. And I used to sit behind her in church, and the choir would get to singing, and that little lady would get happy, and she'd go to clapping her little hands. She'd hold them up, and she'd clap them like this and wave them like this when the choir would sing. And you'd hear her just softly, wasn't real loud. She'd go, "Woo, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord." I mean, just like this. And she'd wave her little hands. And man, there's something as a young preacher that would run all over me. I said, "God, I don't know exactly what all she's got, but I'd like to get a little bit of it on me." And God, of course, had dealt with me to preach and was working in my life. And it wasn't long. God sent me out to pastor. And I hadn't seen Annie in a long time. And matter of fact, she was failing in health. And somebody told me that her family had to put her in a nursing home about an hour and a half from where we're at, and I'd lost contact with her. I hadn't seen her in probably 10 or 15 years, and she wasn't even in my thought process anymore. It had been so long since I'd seen her, and our church went up to the nursing home to sing some songs and visit some folks one night there in the town we live in, and we were walking. I was walking down the hall that night, and as I turned the corner and walked down the hall, there was a little woman standing there, holding on to a walker, just a little gray-haired lady, and she was, you could tell she was just emaciated, just weak. And when I turned the corner, I looked, and it looked to me, I said, "That looks like Annie Short." I hadn't seen her in probably 15 years, and she had failed in health badly. And I said, "That looks like Annie." I told my wife, I said, "That looks like Annie. I thought they sent her somewhere off from here." And I said, "You reckon that's her?" I mean, I said, "I'm going to go see if that's her." And I walked down there, and the little lady was just standing there, and she just had a blank stare on her face, and she was standing there holding on to a walker. And I walked up, and I wasn't sure it's her. I thought maybe it's somebody that looked like her, because I hadn't seen her in so long, and I knew she was failing in health badly. And I walked up, and I got down where I could look at her in the eye, and I said, "Annie, is that you?" And there was no response. She just looked, she just stared straight ahead. She never said anything, never showed any emotion. And I thought, well, maybe she didn't hear me. Maybe she can't hear good. So I got down again. I said, "Annie," I said, "this is Brother Leonard." I said, "Do you remember me?" And there was no response whatsoever. She just stared straight ahead and just stood there. And I thought, well, maybe I'm mistaken. Maybe this ain't her. And I've got the wrong person here. And I was a little bit discouraged by that. And I started to just walk off. I thought, well, it's not her and she can't. And as I started to walk off, it's almost like the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart and said, "I'll tell you what you ought to do. Don't ask her if she knows you. Ask her if she knows Jesus." And I walked back over to where she was at, and I got down where I could look at her in the eye. And I said, "Annie, do you love Jesus?" And all of a sudden, I saw a gleam in her eye. And all of a sudden, them two little old bony hands come up off of that walker. I later found out she had had a stroke and she couldn't talk. But I thought, hallelujah, I left there that night with a spring in my step, knowing, praise God, that God's given me something that'll navigate the early years of life. He's given me something that'll navigate the middle years of life. And if need be, when it comes time that I got to spend a day or two in a nursing home, I'm glad He's given me something that'll help me, amen, navigate the journey of life, amen. Just remember, when you find yourself in a fog, use what God supplied you with. Stay the course. Slow down and wait on God. And last of all, set your sights on that never changes. That night as I was driving, I couldn't tell where the landmarks were. It was so foggy. I couldn't see anything really But I did know this. I said, there's a line that's been drawn at the edge of that highway, and it'll never change. All I got to do is get my sights on that that won't ever change, and it'll help me home. You know what? Sometimes we're living in a changing world. If you hadn't figured that out, everything's changing. I saw today this talking about the stock market going down, and they're all chewing Rolaids. And see, that stuff don't bother me as much, because where I come from, when they talk about the stock market, we usually loaded up cattle in the back of a truck and took them down there and sold them. That's the stock market to us, amen? So, you know, I'm sorry for folks that's lost money and stuff. I mean, I'm not making light of that at all. But you know, let me tell you something. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. I'm glad, praise God, I'm going there one of these days. And everything changes in this world. You hang around a little while, it'll change, buddy. People change. I mean, places change. But there's one constant in this world, and that blessed old book you're holding in your hand. Every now and then, I've been there in one place, and Dr. McAbee, I know 49 years, and what you have seen change. You've seen people change. Preachers that's been there, they've seen a lot of changes. And sometimes those changes become overwhelming to us, because I don't want change. I don't like change. I like to keep things the same, but it don't ever stay the same. But when I start getting overwhelmed by it, I just pick up that blessed old book. And you know, it reads the same way it did the first day I ever stood and tried to preach out of it. And in a changing world, if I'll keep my sights on that never changes, I'm glad I can navigate through the foggy times of life. What to remember when you find yourself. I trust that you're not in a fog. Job's friend said, who can understand the spreadings of the clouds? A fog is nothing more than a cloud that's touching the earth. And Job was in a foggy time, but Job also knew that his Redeemer was alive. And Job said, he'll take me through it. He said, though he slay me, I'll trust him. And I'm glad he'll carry you through the troubled times of life. Let's bow our head tonight. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I want to ask you tonight, as we stand to our feet and heads bowed and eyes closed, I don't know if you're going through anything tonight. Could be you know somebody tonight that's going through a foggy time. Could be you're in a place where things are not clear. And you say, preacher, I just don't know what to do, which way to go, what I need to do. Well, I tell you, just wait on God tonight. If you're here tonight, you say, preacher, what should I do? I'm facing a trouble, and I'm facing a trial. I'm facing a heartache. Preacher, some things have come my way that I didn't expect, and all of a sudden they've come from out of nowhere, and I need help. Well, I got news for you tonight. There's a God that'll help you if you'll stay the course. Just stay with Jesus. Just stay in a good Bible-preaching church where you know you're going to hear the truth, and find that place, and God will help you through the troubles of life. I wonder how many of you tonight, God's speaking to your heart. It might be you know somebody tonight that's in the midst of a trouble. You say, preacher, I sure do need to pray for them tonight. I need to come. It could be a loved one, a son or a daughter. Could be a family that's in trouble. Could be somebody tonight that's facing a sickness, a darkness of sickness. And it just don't seem there's no way out. Just remember this. Just stay the course and he'll help you. Because there is a land somewhere where the birds are singing. I wonder how many more tonight would say, preacher, I want to gather here on this altar. I'm going to pray in just a moment and then turn the preacher loose with the invitation. How about it tonight? Is God speaking to your heart? Are you going through a struggle tonight? Do you need help tonight? Do you need encouragement tonight? Or some of you right now need direction in the midst of your storm. The clouds have come in, the dark clouds have come, and you don't know which way to go. Things are not clear. And you say, preacher, sometimes I get so filled with fear because I don't know what's out there ahead. Well, I got news for you. There's a God that knows what's out there, and I'm glad he'll be there
there with you in the midst of all of it. He'll be there in your happy times. He'll be there in your sad times. I'm glad he's a God that'll never forsake us, never leave us. I wonder anybody else tonight. Anybody else? Father, we thank you tonight for these that have come already. Lord, I pray you'd touch the hearts of others tonight who need to come. Lord, maybe to pray for a loved one or a friend tonight. God, maybe somebody just needs direction tonight. It could be tonight somebody's in the midst of a storm and they need comfort, God. Lord, I pray, would you help them just to wait on you? Lord, help them to slow down and wait on you, God, I pray. Lord, help them to get their sights and set their sights upon that that never changes. Father, I beg you tonight, would you help somebody here in this place? And God, we'll give you praise, honor, and glory. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Preacher, you come tonight.
All right, number 59. Turn in your books. While these are praying, others need to come tonight. God can help you in these times. Amen.
My heavenly home is bright and fair. I feel like traveling on. Nor pain nor death can enter there. I feel like traveling on. Yes, I feel like traveling home. I feel like traveling on. My heavenly home is bright and fair. I feel like traveling on. Its glittering towers, the sun outshine. I feel like traveling on. That heavenly mansion shall be mine. I feel like traveling on. Yes, I feel like traveling home. I feel like traveling on. My heavenly home is bright and fair. I feel like traveling on. Let others seek a home below. I feel like traveling on. Which flames devour or waves or flow. I feel like traveling home. Yes, I feel like traveling home. I feel like traveling on. My heavenly home is bright and fair. I feel like traveling home.
Well, there's one thing we can be assured of. God's not in the fog, friend. Amen. So that means we'll follow him. Hallelujah. I could relate to so many things he was saying tonight because I lived in the mountains for 10 years. Well, I thought about an experience one night out on 181 toward Morganton. It was so foggy, I literally had to stop and open my car door to see if I was still in the line, between the lines. I'm telling you, friend, hey, sometimes you got to see if you're still in the line, amen? Like you said tonight. Thank God. But I tell you, the Lord's helped us. Amen. And he will help us. Hallelujah. These difficult days, and it's looking foggy all around us, politically, socially, even religiously, and I'm afraid sometimes spiritually. We're facing some foggy days, but I'm glad I know the one that can get us through the foggy times. Amen. He has and he will. Thank God. He will not forsake his own. I'm glad we're guided by an unseen hand and we're kept by the power of God. And I'm so thankful tonight for his help in these difficult days. Amen. Well, there's help here tonight. I hope you obeyed the Lord, done what you needed to do. Amen. And listen, let's keep praying now for these services and trusting God. Boy, this is a good crowd tonight. It's good when you see the rain run us in, amen? And it sort of runs you in close to each other, amen? Had to be close tonight. Well, we thank God for his presence tonight. And that's what we need to be praying for between now and tomorrow night. We just need God to manifest himself. He makes a difference. It's not personalities. It's not programs. And it's not performance. It's the presence of God that makes the difference in any meeting. Amen. And that's my desire, that God would rend the heavens, that he would come down, that the mountains would flow down at his presence. Amen. So be praying. Bring someone back with you tomorrow night, and we'll just keep spreading it out. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, I was thinking when all this rain was falling earlier this evening, some of you four-wheel drive fellas hang around. I hope everybody can get out of here okay, and all of that. Be careful, because it's wet, it's soggy, and that means it's slick. And so be careful as you leave out tonight. But tomorrow night at 7:30, let's gather right back under the tabernacle. Prayer time at 7:15 for the men. Go by the CD table, check it out, and sign up for the CDs. They're $1 each. And keep praying now. Pray for Brother Leonard. Lord, keep giving him the strength he needs and the help that he needs. Amen. All right. Shake hands. Help get the books up. And then let's shake hands and fellowship. Be friendly with them. Need some help putting some chairs back. All right, Brother AJ needs some help getting some chairs back. So some of you help him out. Amen.